greetings. Happy Good Friday. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show here, live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I am Steve Dace alongside Todd Erzin. Aaron McIntyre again sitting here over in the cheap seats as we are getting our former intern Victoria ready to assume your mantle when you go off for paternity leave, which is imminent here. And you told me yesterday that she was doing a fantastic job.
She is. She's doing an incredible job. I mean, the days now I actually have work to do. I have no excuse not to sound, you know, somewhat smart and informed. Usually I'm like pressing a bunch of buttons over there. So if I say something stupid, I usually just follow that. I have a really tough job over here. I'm pressing all these buttons. Now I have no excuse. But the 2 days that I was shadowing her, easiest 2 days since I've started working for you.
We are going to do the Dace group today as we would if you were not here, just to make sure that she is ready, okay? And so that means the format will be a little bit different. It'll be a little bit more stripped down. We won't have Bleep Lord Nefarious Says, because that's kind of your baby, and it should be, you know, special and unique to you, so it will be. But we're going to do something in a similar vein, which I will explain here in just a matter of moments. Of course, our Blaze TV colleague, Jill Savage, she is in Dallas. She will be joining us momentarily for the Dace group as well. We'll have Feedback Friday for you coming up a little bit later on. I want to mention, of course, that we are brought to you by our good friends over at First Cup Coffee Company, where they have a flavor for every freedom-loving American. If you use my last name, Dace, is your promo code, you'll get 10% off when you go to firstcup.com. Firstcup.com, they put the roast date on every bag, and that way you'll know it is shipped to you within days of being roasted to make it as fresh as possible. Firstcup.com, use the code Dace for 10% off. And if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off for the life of the subscription at firstcup.com. Use the promo code Dace. Also want to let you know, we've got a brand new movie coming out here on Blaze TV, and anything that claims Napoleon Dynamite as inspiration is worthy of giving a shot, because I think Napoleon Dynamite is an absolute masterpiece. I mean, I think it's one of the great films of the 21st century, and I'm not even joking when I say that. I mean, it is absolutely one of the most rewatchable. Like, if I'm flipping channels and it's on, I will park and watch at least a few minutes of it every time. Every time. It's flawless. It's absolutely flawless as a film. It's hilarious. It's well written. It's well acted. And it's absolutely hilarious. You guys are looking at me like you don't agree.
Oh, I love.
Okay.
Yeah. Napoleon Dynamite's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I've seen it the first time and I enjoyed it and never seen it since, so I'm just actually, my frame of reference is like, wow, I may have to like dust this thing off or something.
I remember the first time actually that my mom, you've met my mom a couple of times, you know, she's a wonderful salt of the earth individual, but very hard worker, doesn't, you know, take time to watch movies, especially not growing up. The first time we showed her that movie, I've never seen that woman laugh as hard as she did, and she wanted to watch it again, and we actually watched it 2 times in a row the first time.
I mean, I will watch it. If I am flipping and it's on, I will watch at least 10, 15 minutes of it. It's so quotable. There are so many great lines. Bow to your sensei. I mean, there are so many great lines in that film. I will make all of your dreams come true. It's just, it's a phenomenal movie. It's flawless. I love the movie. You need to see it again, Todd. All right, you need to see it again. It is. I might rank it the top 5 all-time comedies of my lifetime. Idiocracy is number 1, by the way. Completely profane, awful, terrible, and the most prophetic work maybe Hollywood has ever done. Okay, but Napoleon Dynamite absolutely is in that top 5. Well, Agua Donkey, which frankly is a stupid title, so is Napoleon Dynamite. All right, so we're already off to a good start. And Agua Donkey is a new movie we're debuting here at the Blaze, and it claims Napoleon Dynamite among its primary inspirations. And having seen the trailer, I can definitely see at least the vibe from the trailer that they are going for with Napoleon Dynamite. If you love laughing at idiots, and who doesn't? I do. All right, so take a break from the culture war where you're fighting them on a daily basis. All right. And go back to what we used to do when America was great. When we were a great country once, we laughed at idiots and morons. We made fun of them, and they deserved it. And they knew that. They knew their place. Now they're running the show. So remember a simpler time when we laughed at morons. All right. And Agua Donkeys continues that tradition of hilarious storytelling about optimistic pool boys chasing their dream girl. It just sounds dumb. It just sounds stupid. And they sound like morons. So we should laugh at them. All right. If you want to take a break, go to blazetv.com/agua. A-G-U-A if you're an American. BlazeTV.com/AguaDonkeys, and you can subscribe for just $15. That's BlazeTV.com/AguaDonkeys and subscribe for just $15. I promise you, with the name Agua Donkeys, this thing's either really bad or really good. I mean, if you're going for that vibe, you're not going to walk away and think, it was okay. You know what I'm saying? You either stuck the Napoleon Dynamite landing, or you're like, what the hell is the Blaze doing with this? All right? So a little bit like our show. No one's ever like, I think this show's okay. You ever notice that? None of our feedback's like, when I'm bored, I have it on in the background. I mean, you either think this is a prophetic work or you want us stoned, all right, tomorrow, okay?
Either way, we're the WTF gif with the guy with the blonde mullet.
Correct.
Either way, good or bad.
Correct. All right, so with that, let's get to it. It is time for the Dave's Group. Your weekly look at the week that was. There she is. Hello, Jill. Good to see you again. It's not going to start this time as it always does. We're going to do something of a similar vein, just a different approach. All right. So we are bringing back, while Aaron is gone from paternity leave, and today we are pretending that he is, even though he's going to talk quite a bit. We are bringing back a segment that we used to do on Fridays that kind of gave birth to your montage eventually.
Before it became an everyday thing with the montage.
Yes. All right. So we used to do a segment called This Week's Sign, The Apocalypse is Upon Us. All right. So for issue one, for the next few weeks until Aaron returns back to normal, we're going to do that for issue one. Each member of the panel will be responsible for bringing a story with them to the fold, to the table, that they think is a sign the apocalypse is upon us and why. And Jill, as the guest and ladies first, you're up.
So we have nobody to blame but ourselves. We can't go back and blame Aaron for this. So the story that I chose was a Life News story that they tweeted out. And there was a baby born alive after a botched abortion at 24 weeks. And then they just left the baby there for an hour to cry, suffer with no medical attention whatsoever. This story happened in Poland, but let's be real. I mean, we could see this happening all over the United States. We know that it does. And it takes us back to the movie Unplanned with Abby Johnson and looking at her story, and you see different realms of the abortion, the stories that throughout the movie. And you know, Planned Parenthood, they go through and they at least pretend to care about the women's lives just a little bit in the fact that they'll probably be return customers for them. But even in one scene in that movie, there's a woman that needs further medical attention and they don't go out and call an ambulance because they say we never do that because that's going to have too many eyeballs. It could question what we're doing in here. We can't do that. So when I saw this story with the baby that was born alive against all odds, somehow this 24-week child was still alive and not being able to receive the medical attention. And in the movie Unplanned, you see the barrels full of baby parts that they wheel out. And it just makes you think, like, what are we doing as a society? And I still remember, I think it was probably the summer of 2015 when we got that story initially that Planned Parenthood was having these barrels full of baby parts that they would be selling off. And it just takes me back there. When I saw this story this week, I just thought this has to be it, because in this Holy Week, what are we doing if we can't just go out and save even the babies that have been born after a botched abortion? How can we not even save those lives?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you picked this because I almost did for mine, but I assumed one person on the panel would. So thankfully you fulfilled my assumption right off the jump. But I mean, yeah, this one is arrest and hang everybody after a fair trial, of course, kind of stuff. But this is not really that much different to what was done with Alfie Evans in a London hospital a few years ago. Remember when we talked about that and no one quit and no one resigned and no one said, I'm not going to starve that kid against its parents' wishes. Everybody just followed orders, you know, and remember how much our show focused on that story at the time and what we thought it meant culturally. Yeah. Okay. And of course, we're sitting here. Is this, I think it's the 19th anniversary, I want to say, of when Terri Schiavo was starved to death, or it's pretty close to that, or was it 19 years ago? I know that if it's, if the anniversary is not now, I know it happened about 19 years ago. So yeah. And the fact that even by the standards of that we are desensitized to today, Jill, that this is still, you know, a story that can just, you know, get under your skin indicates the amount of evil and anguish associated with it. Todd, what's yours?
Well, I just wanted to say, in terms of real-time moments on this show, pound for pound, I think the most compelling one for me was in that first year when I worked for you, and we're 10 years into this thing, and it's before Aaron came on, and it's in the old building, and it's you, me, and Rebecca, and it's off of this story of the baby parts, and we reacted in real time. The news came down that the Republicans were not going to do anything, and the three of us looked at each other like, is this hell?
Mm-hmm. I remember listening to that show.
I've never been the same. That was one of the most impactful moments professionally I've ever had.
Because we thought this was going to blow the lid off the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things have not gone well since then, have they?
They have not. No.
Mine. Easter Sunday is upon us. It's a movable feast. Why? Well, the Jewish calendar is based on a lunar model. And in order to keep Easter attached to the Passover, it has to do with that. So Easter is always the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. So that moves around, but it's tied to the Passover. Well, this particular Easter Sunday, on the same day as Easter Sunday, is Transgender Day of Visibility.
Wonder if that's a coincidence, do you think? Think the devil just planted that and said, oh man,
see,
I had no idea what day this was.
This is mine as well.
Is it? So okay. Instead of sign of the apocalypse, it might just be gird your loins. It is the apocalypse. I don't know. And so to take that out of the just the philosophical, here's an example. Recent news. Two men dressed as women impregnate one of their own sisters to become their surrogate so that they can have twins. And we need to remind ourselves when stuff like this comes on. And the same thing we just talked with the baby parts. I honestly think we are so desensitized that we forget that it's not just one person off. They're not doing surgery on themselves. There's a whole medical industry that is signing off on the baby killing, on this, on the jabs in COVID. Those are the high priests of this culture, and we need to reconcile ourselves to that, and that's why I chose this as the sign of the apocalypse.
It's been well established, we've talked about it on multiple occasions, that the corrupting of the biblical symbol of the rainbow is alive and well. That's always been the case with the rainbow flag and the ultimate corruption, whereas primary colors of seven, the rainbow flag has six. Whether that's a demonic troll or an avert or overt just shot across the bow of the creator of each and every human being, I know not, but it's the end result is the same. We've talked about that before. Pride Month is in the sixth month of the year. If I were to put a gun to any of your heads and I said, tell me the approximate date of the average date of Easter each year, you would probably say what? Late first week of April, early second week of April. No, the average date of Easter every year is actually March 31st. So there's that. So that answers your question.
Even though they're all heinous, what you guys chose is perfect because it's why I didn't go with Jill's. I thought someone else was going to pick it, and I decided to go with this instead because I'm going to share with you the story that makes everything else that they just said possible. The reason everything else that Jill and Todd and Aaron discussed is occurring throughout the West is because of the story that I'm going to read. It's from here. Okay. This is from the Christian Post. Now, this is going to be a familiar story to some of you. We discussed this a little bit a week ago. Okay. But now that we're here into Holy Week, now it's making the rounds all throughout Christian media. Okay. But it bears resetting because it is the reason all of the evil that you guys just described that we could do every day is occurring. Stephen Furtick's Elevation Church sent Easter seeker-friendly invites that omit Resurrection Calvary. Christian music artists and pastors have weighed in after a senior staffer at Stephen Furtick's Elevation Church in North Carolina revealed the megachurch doesn't use words like Resurrection Calvary or the blood of Jesus in their Easter invitations for fear of alienating potential non-Christian attendees. Nikki Shear, Elevation Church's digital content director, recently spoke and said the church, which has 20 locations, 20. Not churches they planted, franchises they have expanded to their own brand. Okay. Avoids using language that, quote, immediately makes someone feel like an outsider. Much of an outsider do you think Yeshua of Nazareth was when they tortured him beyond recognition and laughed and mocked him as they made him carry his own cross, applied the crown of thorns to his head, pounded nails through his hands and his feet? I'm sure he felt that this was a really inclusive exercise, right? When I think about how I'm going to talk about Easter, I'm thinking about how I'm going to talk to people far from God because that's the thing that matters most to us. That's not the thing that's supposed to matter most to you. God is! God is! Remember when I said last year what's happened to the American church is it's taken the second commandment and replaced, put it either on the same par as the first one or the second, what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments, put it on the par with the first one or had it supplant the first one? That loving your neighbor is more important than absolutely anything else, which means now people are God. No. What should be a church's most important thing and priority is God, not the people. The church wants to reach the unchurched and churched alike. How about the church wants to bring glory to God? And God can be glorified, man, if there's 5 million people in there and if there's five, right? God can be glorified. God's glorified with 13 apostles and 110 people hiding out in an upper room. And God is glorified when 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost come to faith, not counting the women and children. God's still glorified in either one of those circumstances. God is glorified when women who are third, fourth, sixth, seventh class citizens show up first to see an empty tomb. And God is glorified when the emperor of Rome becomes a Christian, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not correct to the church in this country or much of the West. And that's why the salt has lost its savor and it's of no use to anybody but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Return and go back to do the things, the former things you once did. Otherwise, I will come to you and I will take away your lampstand. This is what's the stuff that is happening throughout the West, the barbarism that you guys just itemized that we could do every single day, that you itemize in your montage every single day, Aaron. It's because the church in the West quit. It wasn't driven underground. It wasn't oppressed. It quit. It quit. That's never happened in the history of Christianity. It just quit. It just surrendered. It just stopped caring. It quit. And that's why.
It's not. It's worse than that, in my estimation. He said he wanted to reach the church and the unchurched. I know we need to move on here. The church and the unchurched. Let's say that Paul Washer walked through his church doors on Easter Sunday and started actually proselytizing visitors with the true gospel. Would he be welcomed at that church? Would
Probably
he be
not.
Welcomed? No, it's worse than that. They haven't. The church, I use air quotes for those listening, the church has largely become actually hostile.
Correct.
To orthodoxy.
That's why Washer does a lot of his work in foreign countries,
yes.
For example. Yeah. So that brings us to the exit question. You know, I wonder, by the way, how do you think those first century Jewish believers who are being shunned on one hand by their families and clans for believing this dead carpenter is Messiah, okay, the long promised Messiah from the scriptures, and then the Roman government's trying to kill him at every single turn? I mean, how do you think they managed to spread this message without the Elevation Church marketing messaging team? How did they pull that thing off, do you think? It's amazing. Let's do the exit question. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the odds you'd let Joe Biden drive your children in a car, and 10 being the odds Joe Biden would like to sniff your children. Rank this week's level of total depravity, Jill.
I wanted to protest because there was no Lindsey Graham, but 10 because you did make me laugh.
I taped an episode of Abby Johnson's podcast yesterday, okay? Her producer, before we start the interview, comes on and says, I never miss an episode. This sweet woman comes on. I never miss an episode. Do not stop the Lindsey Graham jokes. Kid you not, that happened. Todd, go ahead. 10. The women want the Lindsey Graham jokes. Todd, go ahead.
That's a sign of the apocalypse. Yes. It's upon us. 10.
10.
Aaron, all right. Let's get to issue 2. That's one hell of a metaphorical and allegorical collapse.
Jose, can you see by the dawn's early light? Well, it wasn't nearly dawn when a massive Maersk shipping vessel with Singaporean origins seemingly lost power multiple times in Baltimore's Patapsco River before crashing into one of the support pilings for the crucial Francis Scott Key Bridge over that river in Baltimore. The result was a dramatic destruction of the bridge, which serves as a major trade route through the city, and the paralyzation of Baltimore's seaport, which is the largest seaport for automobile imports in the United States. Officials were quick to say that no foul play was obvious, and Maryland's governor confirmed that the ship's crew issued several Mayday callouts prior to the collision, which is believed to have saved lives. 6 are presumed dead, however, and we have more questions than answers.
Indeed, we do. I've not had a chance to read it yet. Our buddy Josh Hammer has a piece out in Newsweek today. Concerned that everybody was kind of too quick to jump to conspiracy theories about this. Okay. So based on the information that we have thus far, as well as your own gut instinct, Todd, I'll start with you. What do you think happened here?
Well, there is actually, and I didn't have a chance to listen to it, but there is now purported to be the actual audio of those calls coming in declaring Mayday. So assuming a level of authenticity, I'd want to hear that. You know, we talk about Occam's razor. I still think the most likely is an accident of some kind. But that doesn't even mean it's a majority. It could just be a plurality in my mind. I think Josh is right to caution and of people to just go blowing past what might be the obvious. But I also say, if this from a seaport perspective, and already Jesse Kelly was ringing up, Ron DeSantis built that bridge, a much smaller bridge, in a day. Mm-hmm. They said it's going to take perhaps months to remove this bridge out so the harbor can function again. Mm-hmm. That doesn't ring true to me. And it's one thing to say the inconvenience of driving, but you shut down that harbor. This makes me think of, like, why will we open up borders and not do anything? Why will we shut down harbors to such an extent that it just defies credulity? Like, it shouldn't take this long. If this is really this important to our economy, you get this thing done. It's a priority. So I'm never not going to be a conspiracy theorist on some level regarding things like this, which doesn't discount a word that Josh probably said about this.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think?
Speaking of priorities, Todd, you just don't have the courage to call Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott the N-word. That's the real problem here. That's the real priority. My gut instinct on this is somewhat along the lines of Todd. It's just... In a late-stage republic, hey, it's a Tuesday, another hog confinement is on fire in Iowa. Hey, it's a Wednesday, another, a tire plant is on fire in Indiana. Hey, it's another Thursday, a bridge just collapsed in Baltimore.
These like when old Mo's just, against you, you get, it,
these
it can be against
These things just
you.
Tend to happen in late-stage republics. They just do. Okay, whether it's competency, I saw that the ship that was involved here was involved in another accident across the planet a few years ago. I'm coming down on the side of accidents here, but it's an accident in the context of a late stage republic. I think the story here, I've seen very few updates other than I think they pulled a couple of bodies out on Wednesday. To me, that's the real story here.
If this was anything regarding foul play, you would think the New York Times, you would think our legacy media, if they were actually interested, you'd think any media outlet would be all over this, pounding the drum every single day. We just kind of moved on in about 48 hours. Just kind of moved on. And to the point that Todd just said, I mean, I saw something today for some professor was quoted in one of the papers out in the East saying some engineering professor saying this is going to take 10 years to build a damn bridge. Mm-hmm. 10 years. Something on that front. Something's not right.
Jill.
I'll be your bridge truther of the group if it needs to be. let's start out. Do we trust what the government says? Yes or no?
No.
Usually a no, right? And they were so quick, right? Like this happened at 1:30 in the morning. By the time everybody woke up in the morning, they were like, it's an accident, move on. That to me, that timeline doesn't seem right. Like you couldn't have known any of the answers that you were looking for in that amount of time. Two, all the supply chains, Aaron kind of went through that in the video, the hazardous material, the diesel, the fertilizer. I think the fertilizer, we're going to keep coming back to that. In the future, when they say, oh, you don't have as many crops, all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, remember that bridge went out? Yeah, we just can't get all of the materials in that we need to. So keep looking for that story. But then, Steve, as we had the year in review show, I brought up the Chinese spy balloon coming through. Do we really think that this spy balloon was just going to cruise throughout our atmosphere? Like, I think we even had two of them. Do we really think that they weren't looking for hard versus soft infrastructure in America? Okay. Also, let's add one more thing in there that we know that the United States Embassy issued a warning before the Russian terrorist attack in the concert hall to stay out of large gatherings. That happened on a Friday. And then 4 days later, oops. We don't have a bridge anymore, right? Like, I don't care which one of these you want to choose from, but there's a long line of things that just say this doesn't add up to just an oopsies and people just made a mistake.
Interesting. I am still struggling with, given the amount of traffic that goes through this harbor on a perennial basis, I am sure there have been other occurrences of ships losing power. Why didn't they collapse into the Francis Scott Key Bridge like this one did? How is there not a contingency plan for this kind of thing that can occur? Well, and if there is, why was it not activated?
Well, for the same reason that Aaron have had these conversations off air for a while
and
now.
And these with the air conditioner last summer.
Why boats are breaking, why planes are ripping. Like, men are not... like. They're Netflix and chilling. Like, who's taking care of the infrastructure? Who's fixing stuff? Who cares if the trains run on time unless it just affects
See,
them?
See, I'm
their
open
life.
That it's not a conspiracy, but that gets me to I'm open to that possibility. But that to me gets me to the title of this topic. This is the symbolic nature of
yes.
this. Okay, I mean the allegory of this. If your theory is correct or hypothesis is correct, the allegory of this and that it would crush the Francis Scott Key Bridge. All right, right before. As Aaron points out in his montage, right before we are at daylight, okay? I mean, that is some yeah. serious, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then the very next day, the media that you talked about, they did take the time to report the problematic history behind the name Francis Scott Key.
Correct.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
All right, exit question. Jill, what do you think Joe Biden is doing right now? Like, right this minute, what do you think he's doing?
Eating ice cream.
Todd, what's Joe Biden doing right now? So it's 11:29 Central Time on Friday, March 29th.
Giving an imaginary person a handshake.
Aaron, what's he doing right now? What's the president of the United States? What's he doing right this minute, David?
Yelling at his latest dog.
I think all three of those answers are legit possibilities.
And very heartening and reassuring.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. We'll come back. All right. Even though it is just gotten dumb. I mean, really dumb. We will debate it, or discuss it at least, next. I just got a note from someone who said they were watching the what was it, one of these other channels, Real America's Voice, and they were talking about DeSantis yesterday and how what he's doing in Florida and the wins he's stacking, and the hostess actually said on the air, "I'm just glad that we can say good things about DeSantis again now." Just so there you go.
Did she cite a passage out of the Trump Bible to make that claim, validate
you
that claim?
You guys are not going to let that go. They're just not. Let's talk about our friends over at Patriot Mobile, because for a decade, they've been America's only American wireless service provider. Thankfully, there is one place where the parallel economy is fully available, and it just so happens to be with one product we all pretty much need to have in this day and age, our mobile phones. If you want to make the switch today, hey, if, first of all, if you're a veteran or first responder, let them know. They'll have extra ways to say thank you for your service. All of us can get a free activation if you use my name, Steve, as your promo code. And if you switch over to Patriot Mobile, you get access constantly to their outstanding customer service team. For example, anytime you need to switch networks within their network, you've moved to a different place, different part of town, different part of the country, etc., you can do that anytime for free. Just one of the outstanding perks of being a member of Patriot Mobile. If you make the switch, they'll customize your switch for you. You can keep your phone, change your phone, upgrade it if you want, keep your number, change your number if you want. Just go to patriotmobile.com. If you want to do that and make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/Steve. Again, head over to patriotmobile.com/Steve. Let's welcome in our friend and colleague, Jill Savage, as we continue on with our weekly look at the week that was. Okay, let's get to it. Issue
Christ
3,
is
Christ
king
is King.
Is not a motto. It's the most powerful fact in history, our present and for all eternity, yet it was debated furiously last weekend. Some, like notorious atheist church lady James Lindsay, say the utterance of the phrase is a manipulative psyop designed much like Black Lives Matter. Others, like our friend Lizzie Marbach, who you'll remember, was the target of religious harassment last summer at the hands of a Jewish congressman for having the unmitigated gall to state Christian orthodoxy and subsequently lost her job at Ohio Right to Life because that congressman's wife sat on the organization's board. Well, she contended that the vein of Philippians 1 is true here, that we should rejoice whenever and wherever Christ is King is proclaimed, regardless of the motivation of those proclaiming it. Others still, like myself and our colleague Ali Beth Stuckey, cautioned against using the phrase for any other intention or motivation other than sharing the gospel. What a time to be alive.
So, I have to say, I am ashamed. Okay. I had no idea at the time. I didn't, in my defense, but frankly, I don't have one. Okay. I'm ashamed. I initially waded into this. Okay. Because our colleague, Jason Whitlock, asked a question last weekend. Is there ever a context where saying this phrase is considered to be anti-Semitic? And I said, well, I mean, if you're on public record denying the resurrection, which, of course, is the entirety of Christianity, and you've been on Twitter for over 5 years and you've never uttered the phrase one time in your life until a non-believing Jewish boss fired you from your job, just hypothetically speaking. And you never uttered the phrase ever in your life until your messianic Jewish boss fired you, okay? And now you decide to use it to taunt him, okay? And you and a couple of your buddies that are very well known for consistently breaking commandments against the bearing of false witness and just patent dishonesty are joining you in your chorus to suddenly proclaim such a thing, then yeah, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can turn anything into an idol. That would be one hypothetically speaking circumstance where, yeah, it could be anti-Semitic because you are taking the Lord's name in vain to taunt someone because of their Jewishness, which is if you're trying to diminish someone's agency because they're a Jew, that's the very definition of anti-Semitism. But aside from that, which would be a very unique and hypothetically speaking circumstance, it's never anti-Semitic. And I thought I was just going to give that take and people might respond to it for a couple hours, and I was going to move on for the rest of my life.
Are you new here?
I am, apparently. we need to send Victoria over there, wipe off days without incident on the sign, set it back to zero. The algorithm has now fed me. I see nothing. My entire feed now is the Steven Crowder divorce and people still 6 days later debating Christ is King. That's all the algorithm is feeding me at this point. All right. That's all I see. Okay. So with that in hand and my shame now acknowledged, and I plea for pardoning, all right, that I contributed to this. Your overall thoughts on this debate, why it happened, how it's been handled. Aaron, I'll start with you.
I'd just like to, I just referenced her a couple of moments ago, but Ali Stuckey, in the aftermath of everything that's been going on with right-wing media influencers on social media over the past probably half a week or so, really over the past full week, she posted the screenshot of, I think it's Matthew McConaughey, just smoking a heater, just really lit up. And she said, "There's no way to explain to a normal person what's happening on conservative Twitter right now." Absolutely right. Hit the nail on the head. I put out a poll on my own social, on my own X account at Dace Producer late last week while I was watching all of this go down. And there were other stories. You just mentioned one about a conservative media host.
I'm just hypothetically speaking.
All of these, there's another one as well.
Yeah.
All of these stories going down in a cavalcade. And I had this reaction, but I wanted to see if I was alone. And I asked folks, is Twitter A, still a good source of opinions and perspectives from across the political spectrum? B, is it just a good news or sports aggregator? C, the Tower of Babel? Or D, just show the results? Because I was in C territory. I was in Tower of Babel, especially with the Christ as King discourse, if you can even call it that. Now, the people disagreed with me. Most people still think that it's a good source of news and opinions across the political spectrum. But literally, I think, and I had this reaction too, which is what prompted this. I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, everybody's wrong about this except for me. And everybody's responses to this is like, everybody's wrong about this except for me. And that's why, to me, it just seemed like the Tower of Babel. It's pretty cut and dried. If you use something, even if it's the word of God, as a cudgel against another person just for the sake of trolling them, just for the sake of diminishing them, for whatever reason, whatever your motivation is, I disagree with that. I think that's evil. I believe Christ is King. I said it in the intro. That is not just a motto. It's the most important truth in history, our present, and will be forevermore. Amen. That is true. To me, that's pretty simple. But apparently, a lot of people didn't think it was that simple. A lot of people seem to think it was a lot of other things. James Lindsay, my favorite atheist church lady, because he does a good church lady impression, even though he's an atheist somehow. You know, talking about how Christ is King is the same as Black Lives Matter. Just shoot me now. I got to stop talking. But this thing, it's one of those things. It's so simple, but it's so easy to complicate in the Tower of Babel realm of Twitter and social media.
Todd, end me. End my life here.
We talked about this earlier on the show, and this is the whole ball game to me. It's depending on your point of view, the second or third commandment, using the Lord's name in vain. That's exactly what this is about. And it's the paradox, God knowing our heart, of the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the beginning. At the end, mocking the Lord on the cross, King of the Jews. We, as believers, you can't not but proclaim through word and deed in multiple ways, explicitly or not, Christ is King. Or you can do the equivalent of middle school grab ass, which is what a lot of this clearly is. So much of the church, not surprisingly, is playing with fire to no less an extent than Joel Osteen is. Throwing around this word like this and not willing to get off your couch and put down your typewriter and really bleed for it, you're in trouble.
Chill. Stab me.
I hate all of this. I made it this far without having to discuss any of this, and I was hoping that we were going to make it through the weekend. But no, Steve, we can't have nice things. And when you look at Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, it is our political town square right now, right? This is where all of these discussions happen. So is it any surprise that with our level of stupidity that we just see on a daily basis, that this is what we're actually going to be trying to figure out during Holy Week of all weeks sure. in the calendar? This is the time yeah. that we have to come out and say that Christ is King is anti-Semitic. Well, of course, you know, he's going to know what's in your heart, you guys. Like, spoiler alert here. If you're using it to glorify God, that is good. You should be proclaiming that Christ is King. If you are using it to be a terrible person and anti-Semitic, there are going to be consequences for that. So I look at this whole debate, and of course, conservative media, this is what we're latching on to. Because we don't have any other problems out there in the country right now. You just asked us what we thought Joe Biden was doing right now. And it was like ice cream and doing all these terrible things, like just probably taking a nap, somebody said on Twitter. This is the president of the United States, the leader of the free world. We know that the most important thing is that Christ is King and that it's revival or bust on this show. We know that. And in conservative circles where we should be trying to have real substantial debates, at least like real debates on theology and real debates on what is going on in the churches, we have gotten down to like, hey, Christ, if you say Christ is King, you're a terrible person.
See, cool. I thought this was an opportunity at the very beginning to have an actual substantial debate. And then it just, we're all speaking a different language.
There are no opportunities.
Let the diaspora
commence. I need to get that through my skull.
But
nothing. Nothing's an opportunity.
We can't have nice
nothing
things.
Is. There are none.
Nothing.
I'm obsidian pilled. I'm Rosencrantz Einstein bridged pilled. There's no opportunities. Nothing. Nothing. By the way, did you guys see Taylor Lorenzen was at the Pornhub Awards last night? Let's get to the exit question. Do you think conservative media should engage anti-Semitic groypers either in an effort to persuade or defeat them or just ignore them altogether? Chill.
I would ignore them altogether because that was my plan the whole week, Steve, until we got to the Days Group on Friday.
I told you I'm ashamed. What more do you need from me at this point? Do you need me to start cutting? I mean, what do I need? Okay. Todd?
I am going against some instincts here, but I think we do have to ignore.
Do you? Okay. I mean, if Todd is saying ignore, that's just a down power line with sparks flying. If Todd is saying ignore. Aaron.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to make some adjustments to my X account, but I think in some circumstances they do need to be defeated because there is this strain that I see over and over again. It's not that you can't just be Israel, like just ignore Israel, just don't give them any, you know, U.S. aid, anything like that. There's the strain that if you are not sufficiently anti-Israel, then you're not America first. I don't know what that stems out of, but I think on some level, in some situations, maybe they do need to be confronted and defeated. Otherwise, I would be where Jill and Todd are.
Let's get to our kicker topic, other than the one we just discussed. What do you predict will be the dumbest debate we will have this year? Or maybe you think it's the one we just discussed. Quickly, Jill.
Can a man be a woman? Can a woman be a man? That will be an ongoing debate for 2024.
Hopefully we'll get more out of Donald Trump than when Megyn Kelly asked him. He was like, that was literally his answer. What I just did was literally his answer. Todd.
That Trump is the end of this very personage is the end of democracy while all his opponents use every anti-democratic mean at their disposal to defeat him. Yeah. That's dumb.
That's sinister, evil, wicked, malevolent. Yeah. It's worked, unfortunately, and too often as well. Aaron.
So there's going to be some sort of effort to launch, I don't know, some sort of hoax a la Ron DeSantis's shoes about Joe Biden's pudding. And the mainstream media will actually take the bait and step on that rake. That will happen sometime in late June. Late June, early July.
The Adderall
And the mainstream media is going to step on
that. The White House apothecary has to spike the pudding?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I like that. I like that one. I like it. Actually, suddenly my mood's brightened. I like that one. Hope that happens. It'd be great. Let's get to predictions, Todd. Go.
Now that RFK is tacking to the left for votes, the Biden campaign is going to react accordingly, and it is going to get rid of Kamala Harris, and the vice president of the United States candidate is going to be Dick Levine.
Yo.
I love that. I do. I love that, too. I hope that and the pudding happen at the same time. I do. Aaron?
Don't be sad because it's over. Smile because it happened. I think it's the end of the road for the Iowa women's basketball team in the Sweet 16 against Colorado. They've had a great season, really a lot of fun memories, and Caitlin Clark has just been an amazing symbol for young women. But I do think this team is a little bit weaker than it was last season, and I think they meet the end of the road against Colorado.
Respect the emotional hedge.
Yeah.
Good job, Aaron. Respect that emotional hedge. Jill, go ahead.
Well, Aaron's dead to me now after that prediction.
You're welcome.
Looking at it, the FBI showed up at a woman's house allegedly for posting some Biden memes on Facebook. This happened in Stillwater, Oklahoma, a supposedly red state. And my prediction is that this is going to ramp up as we get closer to the election.
Must have been one. We do some killer memes. I'll give our side credit for that. We do some killer memes. Apparently the FBI agrees. So predictions, RFK Jr. is currently at 10.2% in the RCP polling average. I think with the ticket that he has created, I think come election day, he's not even going to be above 5% on election day. When my original prediction in January was, I thought he was going to challenge Ross Perot, but I think he has really marginalized himself in this candidacy. I don't even think he'll get 5% nationwide. That'll be maybe a ceiling, I think. Thoughts?
I go back to the Arrested Development quote. Her? What? You don't like her? I don't know her. I mean, I guess if they just money bomb every single like contested state and just live on college campuses and college kids don't want to vote for Joe Biden again, I don't know. We're threading several needles here that I just can't see happening.
She hasn't even
He's got the funding he needs.
What were you going to say, Todd?
That's
she
it.
Hasn't even begun her foot washing campaign, so... We ain't seen nothing yet.
She hasn't read the God Bless America Bible yet. That's why.
Jill, thank you for joining us. Our apologies. We'll come back. It'll be Feedback Friday next if we haven't run you off by now. All right, back here with Hour 2 here on Blaze TV Radio and Podcast alongside Todd Erz and Aaron McIntyre and all of you. I'm Steve Dace. Let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. Steve@SteveDace.com is how you can email us. Like us on Facebook, MeWe and Gab. Follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Gitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And then also, if you dig the show and you listen via a podcast, we would love it if you left us a 5-star review, especially those of you that listen via iTunes, which is about 50% of the total podcast market these days. Please also hit subscribe, or if you are on iTunes, follow. That way, every time we do a new episode, it will show up in your feed every single time. And we thank all of you that have done both or one of those things for us already. They are huge helps to the show. Again, thank you very much. Our friends over at Hillsdale are trying to be a huge help in preserving whatever's left of our constitutional republic. They offer these free online courses we've been telling you about. One in particular they want you to check out and they encourage you to watch and go through is from noted historian Victor Davis Hanson. It's called American Citizenship and Its Decline. I remember the first time I heard Mark Levin ever say years ago, we're not a nation of immigrants, we're a nation of citizens. And it was just like one of those mind-blowing things. Like my paradigm just instantly shifted when I contemplated what that distinction actually meant. That's some of what Victor Davis Hanson will get into and how open borders, identity politics, the administrative state, globalization, virtually everything else in our society today is undermining the value of citizenship and how that is undermining our very society. So you don't want to miss it. It's again a free course, one of many they offer at Hillsdale. You can take this one and all of the others at daceforhillsdale.com. That's F-O-R DaceForHillsdale.com is where you want to go. Start your free course today at DaceForHillsdale.com. All right, y'all ready for some Feedback Friday?
Yes. Let's do it.
I got a note from a guy yesterday that is so angry at you two, by the way, for your consistent bringing up and mocking of the Lee Greenwood Trump commemorative Bible, that he said our show is starting to sound like The View. Okay. I'm not as offended by it as you guys are, because I totally get the whole QVC TBN thing, and that's, you know, peak boomer stuff, and that's Trump's base, hardcore base, so kind of fits that. But that being said, I wrote him back and I told him, if at any point in time you think, and this goes for everybody within the sound of my voice, by the way, if at any point in time you think our show is anywhere from 10,000 light years or closer to The View, don't ever listen or watch again, and immediately contact management at The Blaze demanding they cancel the contract with our show. I think you guys would agree with me on that.
Yes.
Yeah. If that's what you really think, don't.
His scorn for me, by the way, is now my new best of the week.
It's not?
It is my best
oh,
of the week.
Oh, it is now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's begin with Lee. Lee writes, once DeSantis's term ends, he should just go state to state as governor. If we can't get him as president, how about changing each state one at a time, and let's just play the long game? It's a sad state of affairs where we are nationally. The people are definitely the problem. I like Lee's idea.
I've had
just,
it before.
Just traveling governor. Right? Yeah. We've had traveling salesmen. We've had traveling preachers. You know, in the Old West, in the frontier days, there were traveling preachers, right? We had traveling rabbis in the Bible. Okay? We had them during the diaspora. Okay? Why not just have traveling governors? Hey, you know, term limited in Florida. We're going to head over to Mississippi now and serve
Alabama.
There for 4 years.
Yeah.
Why? I actually think this is, I think, more ingenious that maybe Lee even understands, because he or she, I don't know which, is just expressing their frustration overall. But I think this may be a genius idea, guys. He's got huge name ID. I mean, stop and think about it. He just starts.
He's not going to be running against Donald Trump in Mississippi,
yeah,
probably.
Just
Mississippi
go,
governor,
and just
I mean.
Go to like hardcore red states, like go to West Virginia, Mississippi, Alabama, those kinds of places, you know, and say, hey, I'm just here to make you all red. We're gonna make you guys actually red. That's what we're gonna do.
We're gonna make carpetbagging great again. Right?
It's got a certain.
I love that. Make carpetbagging great again. That's great.
It's got a certain Pale Rider, spaghetti western feel to it.
It
like
does.
A town desperate for justice.
They're always mocking his boots. Right? Shows up in your state with his boots on. Just here to make your state red. See you in the primary. This is a great idea. Actually, we stop and think about this.
There's nothing stopping him from doing that. He just has to take up residency in a state for a certain amount of time, doesn't he?
What would do more long-term good for the country, given where we're at?
That.
Ron DeSantis type for president for 8 years, or he is the governor of multiple states, and we entrenches sort of a red interpositional Valhalla coalition of states that would outlive... In 8 years
desperate.
In the presidency.
I know.
It's just so desperate.
Yeah. Yes. I know. We are. Your thoughts on Christ is King, Todd. I'm sorry. Yeah, all right. Let's move on.
I just like how the earnestness with which you proposed that. And Aaron doesn't need to know what the alternative is. Bye.
I need to remember, there are no opportunities.
Yes.
There's no opportunities here. There's none. Just... For your love gift this month, that's the only opportunity we have. That's it. Grifting. That's all we do. Those are our opportunities. Bethany Jones says, one thing you all have reiterated over and over again is, where are the men? Well, I have one. He was arrested in front of myself and our two daughters 3 times over standing for our rights on masking. He is in year 3 of a lawsuit where he is the pro se and taking on our local corruption head on. He has lost work, income, and reputation in a stand for truth. He's woken up in the wee hours, drenched in sweat, knowing this is spiritual battle, and been driven to prayer. And we could not be proud of who he is. He's willing to stand for truth, no matter the cost, and we are standing beside him as his family in full support. There are some real men still left, and some real women behind them, homeschooling, praying, and supporting them. So keep up the wonderful work. You guys are doing a great job.
Man, You remember yesterday after talking about Marriage with Brad Wilcox?
Yep.
I said, man, I really, there wasn't enough time to make a point, but I'll have a chance again. Well, here's the chance. A point I wanted, he was talking about the despair modern men are feeling and loneliness and how that goes hand in hand these days with the lack of corporate direction and purpose and seeming, you know, we just talked about on the show with the infrastructure. It's, if men not having a sense of direction oftentimes has a tremendous amount, which just, we may not need a lot in terms of community connectivity, but if your wife talks about you like that and says, I got your back, yeah, show me a dragon, I'll fight it. Yeah, I think these things are so fundamentally DNA in that level, spiritually wired into men, just that level of, if I've got my family, I'll fight whatever needs to be fought. And that's why loneliness is crushing for people in general, but it is crushing in a unique way for men, because then they will just drift and not fight anything.
I can't think of, and that's well said, I can't think of anything any husband would want to hear more from a wife than what Bethany Jones just wrote into this show about her husband. Right? And no one else you'd want to hear that more from than your wife. That's why I wanted to highlight it.
Yeah. Helmet sticker.
No
yeah.
doubt. So whoever is Mr. Bethany Jones, you're a badass dude, and your family is testifying to that, and they would know best one way or the other. So congrats to you for being a dude. Eric Olson says the Biden administration and State Department's malfeasance with immigration is worse than you know. There's a lot of that going around these days. We think we are obsidian-pilled, slate-pilled, Rosencrantz-Einstein-bridged-pilled, and then we get this note. It's worse than that.
I can't wait till Wednesday's list. Things that are blacker than black.
Yes.
Top 10.
Background, Eric says, I'm an Army veteran with two tours in Iraq, and I have been working to get former Afghan military, police, judges, etc., out of the nation since the fall of Kabul. Individuals from every country in the world can show up at any consulate in the world and request asylum or visa, except for Afghanistan. People from Afghanistan can only apply in Pakistan, where most of the people who fought the Taliban will be arrested by the secret police. My organization has found transportation to many, many third-party nations, only to have State Department pressures those nations to deny all transportation of people from Afghanistan and disallow the embassies from processing any requests from only people from Afghanistan. All of this while flying Chinese, people from various terrorist-supporting Middle Eastern nations, communists from Central and South America, etc. This is considerably more nefarious than just incompetence. They are actively, diligently, and very effectively stopping all rescue of Afghans who have been vetted by the U.S. military, and all while flying in an army from other nations that hate us. The question is why?
I think there are two sides of this coin here. Never mistake malevolence for incompetency, and never mistake incompetency for malevolence. I think these things are hand in hand. This was Todd's razor not too long ago. It was everything is basically stupid. Stupid and evil go hand in hand. So do malevolency and incompetency. They go hand in hand. But if you were asking, if you were wanting to know, what else would they be doing if they were intentionally trying to shun people who have been actually vetted and invite people who have no vetting whatsoever? What would they be doing differently? Mm-hmm. And the answer is nothing. Objectively, nothing. They would be doing nothing differently. And so we're stuck in this place of, you know, we had an expert on the border on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the Blaze's new special, Texas versus the Feds, and his explanation was that there's just too much money for NGOs to facilitate the border invasion. So that's a combination of greed and incompetency right there. But regardless, the end result is the same. Whether it's malevolence or whether it's incompetency, whether it's greed, the end result is that we are being invaded. Maybe replaced. To what end? We know the answers to those questions. Malevolency and incompetence always go hand in hand.
Yeah, the decision has been made that America's time is over by enough people explicitly or implicitly in that, like, I can take it or leave it. This thing's on autopilot. It can't possibly go away. You don't really have to stand and defend your rights because borders, it's not just the borders of all kinds are obviously and purposely being ignored or eliminated. The actual border, which we talk about all the time concerning Mexico, but borders of good and evil in terms of prisons, there's what crime can you not commit and not be go through the turnstile and just be let out the next day, if not, in fact, turned into the real victim of all of this? The border of gender, gone. This is America's time is clearly over to a lot of people that have been able to conduct this. And this is where Josh, you know, this is where you can't have enough conspiracy theories, quite frankly. And I'd have to read Josh's column to know. But we've been targeted, and they've put out the execution, the kill shot order, and it's happening in real time. We're watching it.
So the question is: does that happen to a culture? Does it happen to a? Let me rephrase it. Does that happen? What you're describing, Todd, does it happen to a superpower like us because it's too powerful, or because it's no longer as powerful as it was, so it is vulnerable? Meaning, did we declaw ourselves, and that opens us up for these kinds of schemes that you're talking about? Or did these kinds of schemes cause us to become defenseless? Or is it maybe a little bit of both?
Well, it is a little bit of both. The latter rings more true to you writing nefarious plot. I mean, it's the devil instantly saw, not just
right.
a common
but
threat.
But if you go to my book, how does he say that he did it?
Yeah.
He did it by the co-opting of the people at the granular level. Mm-hmm. I mean, he recognized the nefarious says in the book that there were institutions created at the nadir of this country that forbid entities like him from doing what we're describing. And so they had to corrupt the people so that the actual American people would do this for them. Mm-hmm. They would turn against them, and then they would then take over those institutions and turn them against, and against their own constituencies so that this would be done internally, that there was no way to externally infiltrate America with those institutions. She had to be internally corrupted. So that's what nefarious says anyway.
Yeah. Look at the degree to which just people, even Americans, resent being Americans. It's loathsome, and that's demonic to its core. The only nation founded on a creed. You talk about bulletin board material. Mm-hmm. That's always been like the demon put that creed out there. That's what motivates me. Killing that can't stand.
So on Good Friday, 1956, New York skyscrapers were ablaze with the cross.
Yes.
On Good Friday, 1956. There's pictures of this out there. You can see it. I've tweeted them out before. They come out about every year at this time. I share them most years. I did again today. So 1956, Good Friday, 1956, the skyline of New York is adorned with crosses. Okay? Lit up with it. 2024, we spent a week having the dumbest debate about the most important a truth claim in the history of the cosmos. Is Christ king or not? Is Christ Lord or not? Okay. We made that as vapid, shallow, stupid, trivial, empty as we possibly could. And that occurred in roughly about one generation, basically, is how we got here in just one generation.
Just to revisit the intro to Romans that you walked through yesterday, the competing religion, the spirit of the age with the rise of the counterculture. I mean, there are some commentators, most of them on the right, who will point to something similar to that, and then will point to massive riots, rallies, funerals for George Floyd while everybody else had to stay locked down. And they will say the revolution always happened. And whatever was America lost, whatever was America, they might even go back. There are some who even go back to World War II and say the baddies actually won in World War II. And that's getting into a whole can of worms and weeds that would be unpacked on a different show. But that's going just re-rack what you laid out in your introduction to Romans yesterday. And that's the answer to the question. The people are the problem. We can complain all we want about the entrenched bureaucracy. It is a problem. You can complain all you want about the institutions that were in place or that have been in place to protect the posterity for this generation and future generations all you want. And all of your criticisms are probably true. But ultimately, the people are the problem. Just keep coming back to that.
I have said that this may very well be the most important election of my lifetime for the first time, that at least as a voter. You know, I was a little kid in 1980. I couldn't vote. All right. So at least in my time as a voter, it might actually be true for the first time that I think it's a must win. Okay. We all agree, even if you don't agree with me on this, I don't know anybody on any facet of the right that doesn't think we're either in some form of existential peril or flirting with it at this point. Fair? Okay. What are the defining issues of this election? What are people running on? What are the defining issues?
Gaslighting on the economy on one side.
Yeah.
Legal issues. I'm being persecuted. Yes, you are. On the other side.
That's my point. I mean, if you're an average American voter and you're not as dialed in as audiences on platforms like The Blaze are, okay? Or you're not just down, you're not a single woman that I'm only voting on how many of my own, you know, kids that I conceive with my baby daddies can I kill, okay? If you're an average American that's not in either of those two ideologically committed partisan camps, what are you being asked to vote on?
Yeah, which is part of the punchline behind Trump Bibles, because it's unforgivable that people on the right don't know that. That's what he needs to be defining, and he's spending his time as
asking him to define that.
Which is an us problem.
And there would be no market to do that. No one can sustain a platform, by at the level that you want, okay, that most people want, all right? You can't sustain a platform on the American right. You can't, by trying to impose things upon Donald Trump. It's much more likely that you can grow and sustain a platform by letting him impose things on you. And that, therefore, that is not about Trump, and that's not about us. Who's that really about? It's about the audience. If I can't sustain an audience imposing things on the politician, but I can sustain an audience having the politician impose things on me, then ultimately, who's the jury in this case? Who's making that decision? The audiences. You know, and this goes to what Christopher Rufo has been talking about, which frankly I did also brought up several times last year, that what monetizes in this realm for us primarily actually works against and is anathema to getting us to our stated goal of trying to win elections to save America. Right?
There's a direct parallel of an argument relating to Ron DeSantis and legislation pertaining to social media, because there's research that came out of a book. Oh, my goodness. I'm the one who recommended the book, and I can't remember his name right now. But with all of the social media problems, mental health and emotional problems that this is causing, there's one group of people who stood out above all others in terms of their kids. They did have social media, but they turned out just fine, and it had no discernible impact. And that's those were who were raised in a religious
home. I saw that.
So there was a counter ethic being installed.
Counter ethic. Yeah. There was an outside real world community that they were a part of.
But that argument is not just about kids and social media. It's about everything we just got done talking about with the narrative, who calls it, what we care about, because the audience you're talking about, it's the exact same argument. The audience of social media, the teenagers, and us in our teenage sensibility and just wanting to be comfortable and titillated and only want what we want.
I'll tell you what I do want, because I've tried it in a completely different, more shallow context. I was skeptical, man, and then I tried it. Awkward segue alert. The meat at Backyard Butchers is actually really good. I would highly recommend it, you guys. I would. It's really good stuff. All right. And they're one of our partners here on the show. You can get 20% off your entire order. Using the code DACE when you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off and free shipping. And we're talking about big meat boxes. That's a nice save of an expense there for you. All right. You can find out why they've got over 500,000 happy customers across America, hundreds of 5-star reviews online. And they're an American-based customer service team of stay-at-home moms that will make sure your orders are delivered right on time every single month. Get the person in your house who buys the groceries to go to backyardbutchers.com/dace and buy all U.S. American meat today. Grass-finished, grass-fed too, by the way. All right, so again, that's 20% off your entire first order, and we've had the burgers. They were excellent. 20% off your entire first order when you subscribe, get an additional 10% off and free shipping, all right, with Backyard Butchers. They're on a mission to bring American-raised, harvested, and affordable meat back to the dinner table. Go to backyardbutchers.com/dace for this deal. Backyardbutchers.com/dace. That's backyardbutchers.com/dace. So what's going to happen is someone's going to say, well, I mean, you guys, you know, aren't, you know, Trump bootlickers by any stretch. So how do you do it? Should we tell them? I'll tell them if we want. We've discussed it ourselves, but why not? Since we brought it up, sure. We should hold ourselves accountable. Yeah. We're part of the industry, too. You know how we do it? We go out of our way to be the largest show on the right that talks the least about Donald Trump. That's what we do, and it's on purpose. I'll say me, because ultimately that's my name behind the shoulder, right? So I'm the one that signs the contract, so it's me, basically. Right? Just made the decision. There's a wall there, and after a while, man, I'll finally just admit there's a wall there. So the heart wants what the heart wants. The boomer's going to get what they're get what they want every single time. So I would defy you on a daily basis to find another long-form show or social media outlet or account with any substantial following like I have or more that per capita talks less about Trump and the dramas associated with him than we do. And it's on purpose. There's nothing to be gained. It's an idol one way or another to too many people. We've never escaped Cheeto Jesus Saves or Orange Man Bad. It just disrupts every other conversation we want to have. So unless it's a newsworthy item that day, and we will literally have conversations with each other during the day before the show. Hey, is this worthy of invoking the name one way or the other?
Oh, I think that's actually, and there's not even a close second in my 10 years doing this with you. That's like the most show prep
it is
we've ever done.
Yep.
That,
yep.
And it doesn't take a long time.
Because knowing
what about this issue do you guys think? Should we talk about it or not?
Knowing once we do, it's the dog whistle. It doesn't matter what we said before or after. And some of you will send me notes telling me I sound like The View, which is why you're not the only ones annoyed that Todd and Aaron keep bringing up the Trump Bible. I am too, for this very reason, in fact. Because it's a dog whistle. Everybody, most people that consume any form of media, period, instantly stop thinking once the name is said. The brain just goes off.
One way or another.
One way or the other. The brain just goes off. Okay? The brain just shuts down.
Which is my point, so I can retire it now that we've all gathered around the fire and come to that conclusion together.
And for a show that is trying to inspire critical thinking and biblical worldview, people shutting their brains down is not good for the ecosystem of the show, nor our relationship with the audience, right? So since it's virtually impossible to have any form of honest dialogue about this, and now why didn't I live up to this during the primary? Well, we had an option. Now, I will tell you this. If Ron DeSantis had not run, we wouldn't have talked about that primary like at all. Wouldn't it just never come up? Wouldn't it matter if there was
to be honest, neither would a lot of people.
Neither would a lot. It wouldn't have mattered if the 17 candidates ran. No one else. There was no one else that could have realistically run that had a claim to have a superior record to Donald Trump. No one else. So then we were never going to discuss it. And the only reason I stuck my neck out to discuss this is because I think, in my opinion, and I still believe this, a clearly superior option prevailed itself, and therefore I thought I had an obligation, despite what it would do potentially to a segment of the audience in our show, I had a moral obligation to stand for that superior option while it was available. But how much about this primary did we talk about, did we break down 5 minutes after he left the half the race? Almost none. And that is on purpose. People just, their brains stop working. They just do. And I don't know how to, I want to win this election. Have I not made that pretty clear? There are some DeSantis people, your behavior has changed. Did I not say from January of last year, we have got to win this election? Now, you may not agree with that, and I may be wrong. Frankly, I think you guys may not agree with me on that. All right? But have I changed at all? Or am I doing exactly what I said all along I was going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said all along, this is what I was going to do. You can agree with it or not. I could be right or wrong, but I'm not doing anything different than I said I was going to do. No one's been Pearl Harbored here. No one's been bushwhacked or ambushed. Okay, we didn't throw the ball up, call Smear the Queer. You rolled out onto the recess schoolyard and wasn't aware the game was being played. The ball dropped in your lap and everybody tackled you. Everybody knew the game we were playing here. I said that from the beginning, correct?
Yes.
That from the beginning, after what happened in 2022, we have to win this, especially as events unfolded last year. So again, I could be wrong, but I'm not doing anything different than what I said I was going to do. But the reality is, because I think we have to win, I actually think we have to talk about him less and talk about the issues that matter to people more. But the problem with that is that you guys want the surest way, not the only, because otherwise we wouldn't still be employed here, but the surest way to grow a platform is to do this. One day come on the air and say to you guys, I can't believe what they're doing to Donald Trump in New York by trying to take a sizable part of his fortune away from him, right?
Yes.
And I not also said, by the way, and yes, I said this during the primary, it's one of the most un-American things,
yes,
I have ever
multiple
seen.
Multiple times, yeah.
Yes, I have. All right. But see, here's what you also then want. On one day, you want me to tell you that this is un-American. The next day, when there's a story out that his personal net worth is the highest it's ever been, you now want me to completely pivot and say, he's destroying and smiting all of his enemies and enriching himself at the same time. Which one is it? Okay? I'm not going to do either one of those things. And I don't think the average person whose vote we have in 250 days gives a crap or a stroke about either one of those things. All right, final segment on a Good Friday here on the Steve Dace Show. Brought to you by our friends at Miracle Made. Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? That is certainly true with me, and that's why I was anxious to try Miracle Made when they came on board last year, and I was blown away, very impressed. We had one of the hottest spells of heat in recent Iowa history during a period of time last year, and it was still the very first time we had lived in that house for 17 years, and it was the first summer ever I did not have to supplement the central air with the ceiling fan. That's how well they helped my temperature regulation at night for my sleeping. So then you get to winter, right? We had like one of the coldest Januaries we've ever had in Iowa history, and they held up great then as well. Highly would recommend using silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. Miracle-Made sheets are thermoregulating, designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. They're very comfy. I should not bury the lead there. Not just temperature regulating. I mean, aluminum foil can do that for you too, but you don't want to sleep in that, right? They're very comfy sheets. They're very comfy temperature regulating sheets. So if you want to go to trymiracle.com/Dace and try them now, and whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code Dace at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20% at trymiracle.com/Dace. And if you're not 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. You can't beat it. Trymiracle.com/Dace. Use the code Dace for the extra discount, the big discount, the 3 free towels, and more. Trymiracle.com/Dace, promo code Dace. All right, here's a couple of feedback notes that have just come in I want to share with you guys. All right. Bill Lee asks, is the gubernatorial transfer portal open? I thought that was great. That lands on multiple fronts.
That's the one transfer portal that you approve of, Todd.
That's, yes, four-dimensional thinking right there. Yes.
Benjamin Fannin writes, I've been listening to all my podcasts lately at 1.5 times the normal speed so I can get through them all on my way to and from work during my commute. When I listen to you at 1.5 times normal, you sound drunk. God bless Grandpa. Thank you. Good to see Autumn again tomorrow. Looking forward to that. But
I actually like to listen to it sometimes just for kicks and giggles at half speed. That's when you actually sound tipsy.
I was going to say that too. It would seem that if you slowed it down, it would sound like you were drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It does.
Do you just sound more insane at 1.5 times faster? So that's the drunkenness he's talking about?
I don't know. I mean, how fast do we have to speed this up for me to go as fast as Shapiro, do you think, in terms of how fast you can talk?
Probably 1.75.
Is there a 1.75?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. I might have to experiment with that over the weekend. What do I sound like at 1.75? Are you guys okay with the sound of your voice? Like, I can't stand it.
You can't stand my voice?
No, your own voice.
You can't stand, you just have a normal voice.
See, I'm not a fan of it at all. I'm not.
But it's just a normal voice.
That's why I don't like it. I don't have the pipes for this, you know, the dulcet tones, the baritone voice. It's just a normal voice. It's a normal voice. You don't have the classic, you know, broadcaster voice. I don't. Who's that dude?
Maybe you should start smoking.
You think that would help?
Probably.
Okay, it would also shorten my career, probably.
That would
benefit some people for sure. But
are you vain enough to try it? Discuss.
Who's the guy? My Tigers just hired him to be our new local TV guy. But he does games on Fox. And I'm trying to remember, he's like 5'7".
Oh, Jason Benetti?
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. That dude's pipes, man. Like, if he called you on your phone and said, I'm coming for you, you'd be like, uh-oh. Then he shows up and he's like 5'6 and 140 pounds. And you're like, how did he end up with those pipes, man?
He's one of my favorite announcers.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah, but he does not, his voice and his appearance don't match up like at all. They don't.
No.
But that's what, remember when we started, and I mean, I have the last voice for radio in the world, but people thought I was you and you were me when they saw us for the first time.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I forgot about that.
Don't know whether to take offense at that. I would love to have Todd's intellect and my voice. I do like to listen to the sound of my own voice, just so everyone knows. I also scored 100% on the worldview checkup test.
There it is.
Just want people to know that. In case you weren't listening that one day.
That'll never not be funny. You can bring it up as much as you want.
Just casually drops that in whenever he wants.
Do you guys follow that account, 3-Year Letterman?
Yeah, love that account. Yep.
He never lettered in bleep. That's what you're doing every time.
Yep.
I love it.
I'm good with it. It's my claim to fame. I was never a great student, so I think this is the first 100% I've scored since maybe 7th grade, probably.
How much credit do you think I should take for your score? I mean, maybe you got discipled doing this show.
You know, it's funny. I've seen criticisms flying at me that, well, you're just a little dace. Well, thank you. I mean, there's a reason why he has a show over there. Also, I was forming my own worldview and listening to you at the exact same time do the same thing. So, of course, I'm going to sound like you quite a bit. But, yeah, you probably. I just basically filled out that test as if, hey, we're living in a Christo-fascist republic here. So.
And that gave you all. That gave you 100%?
Yes.
Yeah, correct answers.
Yeah.
Talking about the worldview test from our friends over at the Nehemiah Institute, by the way, if you want to take that test, you can over there.
Aaron aced it.
I did.
Did you hear Aaron got 100% on that? Let's go to Bruce Carpenter. He says, I found you guys on election night in 2020. I've never looked back. Just thought I'd share a funny story I think you and the boys may appreciate. For context, I've got three boys, 9, 7, and 2 years old. On the drive to school today, my oldest says, "That's a stupid bumper sticker." The car in front of us had a sticker that read, "I love my gay dog." P.S. We live in Delaware. My seven-year-old asks what it says, and my wife allowed my oldest to say it out loud, prompting the eternal question in my house, what does gay even mean? Having heard the word daily in fourth grade, my oldest responds with what he has deduced living in the world. It's just a made-up world, a word that people use sometimes to make fun of other people that means a boy who likes another boy. It's just completely made up. Not sure how my wife kept the car on the road, but she eagerly called me to tell me we have successfully fulfilled our duty as parents.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Nailed it.
That is one of the moments, too, though, when you're, because you're not sure, you know, and I knew my personality, just on its own, was going to be overbearing enough. So I really did not intentionally, beyond just being myself and what I was already going to do and be anyway, I didn't really make an effort to intentionally contrive circumstances in the home that we would speak to these matters, because I felt like I needed to get a point across. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I'm not against doing that as a parent, by the way. If you have a different personality than I do, or you have a different, certainly a different career, so you're not discussing these things organically all the time. I mean, I do a lot of work from home. My office is at home. So, I mean, the kids were going to overhear a lot of these conversations before and after on the air all the day anyway. So in my situation, I just felt like it might be overkill to then, after all of that, let me go out of my way to constantly test the kids to see where they're at. You know what I'm saying? I want them to have their own path and journey and voice, and, you know, not just piggyback off the old man's exhaust fumes, you know. And so when you do that, though, when you see things that you're just like, oh, they got it. It's very rewarding.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. Let's close with this note. I was listening to your March 18th show in stunned silence. First off, never stop talking about COVID and the harm the scamdemic has done to all of us. I am a nurse. Almost everyone I worked with during the jab rollout could not wait to get their shot, but not me. Even though I had not heard about you at this time, I was still a Rush fanatic. I knew deep down this was wrong. I thought that from the outset. Why were we sending people home and not treating their symptoms? Then why they returned half dead, got admitted, and put on a ventilator? I lost two coworkers that way. They worked in a different area than I did, but their exposure was similar to mine. They got COVID after their shots, and I never did. Anyway, we were strongly encouraged to get our first shot in December of 2020, and the second one a month later. I did not. Everyone I worked with got the shot. They couldn't wait to get them. I held off, but the pressure was enormous. Finally, about a year later, on February 1, 2021, I finally gave in and got the Moderna shot. I noticed a change in my hair almost right away. At first, I didn't think it was the shot, but couldn't figure out any other reason. My hair was a massive snarl, and combing it out caused hair loss, no matter how careful I was. I was determined never to take another shot, but my work email was full of messages that I still needed to get the second one. After lots of pressure from my office coworkers, and then the last straw, that if everyone was fully vaccinated, we no longer had to wear masks in the office. I knew the masks were a joke and I hated them, so I got my second shot on April 30th. 2 weeks later, masks were again mandatory anyway. After getting the second shot, I felt funny, just kind of lightheaded, and my hair got even worse. 5 months to the day of that shot, I experienced something that has affected my life to this day. I won't go into the details, but out of the blue, I had the urgency to get to the bathroom immediately. At first, I thought it was something I ate, but it didn't stop there. It kept happening 3 to 4 times a day. After a week, I saw my family doctor. She ran tests. All were negative. She got me a referral to a GI specialist. I waited 3 months to see him. During that time, my 37-year-old healthy son-in-law died suddenly in his sleep. 4 weeks later, my 88-year-old mother died 4 weeks after getting her first COVID shot, which she had to take just to get a pacemaker. In the meantime, my life was governed by having to know where a bathroom was at all times. My husband was then diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer. All of this happened within 3 months. He had to get the shots for work and had one booster as well. Since he was overweight and diabetic, his doctors insisted. I saw the GI specialist and it took 3 months to schedule my colonoscopy. I was diagnosed with microscopic colitis in March of 2022 and a year later when my symptoms had not improved, a fructose intolerance. My diet is completely void of most of what I love to eat. This even includes most fruits, vegetables, and gluten. I continue to work. I am more than angry at our so-called experts, and that includes the hospital that employs me. They had mandated these shots by September of 2021. They are guilty. No doctors that I have seen will agree with me that the shot caused my issues. They have not been able to help me. I found your show in January of 2022. I haven't missed one since. Thank you for what you do. I only wish I had found you earlier. Cheryl Flug in Lincoln, Nebraska. Let's have that be the last note. Thoughts? We got about 5 minutes.
Well, going back to what I said earlier on the show, we've made doctors our high priests. And so COVID, surrogacy, transgenderism, it's the island of Dr. Moreau. And for the most part, after all of this, people aren't asking new questions. We always ask, what's it going to take to wake people up? It's always like 10 steps worse than you think it's got to be. And so then we got to ask, why? What are we anesthetized with? Fear, comfort, common... what is it? Because, again... not coincidentally, again, the spam of social media, what saved it? What saved kids from it? The families who said, we have to go back. The old time religion. It's the same for everything. It's the exact same thing. There's not some great monster out there. Any of the things we mentioned, they're all terrible. But we've all on this show, we have an antidote for it. More God. The real thing. Not the spam Christ is King, you know, again, pissing contest on Twitter.
Amen. You going to forget about this, Steve? Going to drop it anytime soon? No. No, you're not. We are not. There's too much damage to look away. For us, anyway. But it seems like the deduction too many of our fellow countrymen, can we call them that anymore? Fellow something or another. Tax slaves in a economic zone, they are all too eager to move on. Sweet 16's tonight, don't you know? We're back to normal. Back to normal, baby. Yeah, I'm paying, you know, $4 a gallon for gasoline. I can't go to Hy-Vee and get 3.5 ounces of crackers for less than $4. We're back to normal, baby. Great. That's just the economic toll. The life toll, the health toll, is quite literally incalculable. And we have detailed this over and over and over again on this show. But it seems like there's just not the critical mass yet for accountability. Because Todd was alluding to this a little bit. To varying degrees, we allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. So there's this implicit recognition. This, my working theory is, there's this implicit recognition that we all have blood on our hands. When I say we, I'm talking about this country. We allowed this. We wanted the magical vaccine to save us. We got it. We saw what happened. Everybody saw what happened. Mm-hmm. They continue to see what happened. Why isn't there an appetite? Because you wanted it. You know you have your hands on the murder weapon. Maybe not as much as an Anthony Fauci or Peter Daszak at EcoHealth Alliance. Maybe not as much as them, but this country consented to it. I'm talking about the people of this country. I'm sorry, the tax slaves of this economic zone. They consented to it. So that's why I think
with few pockets here and there, the show being one of them, there is not the appetite for the reckoning that COVID deserves. But one day there could be. One day they could, there could be. That's what I'm holding out for. I don't know how that happens.
May not happen this side of eternity, frankly.
Yeah.
It may not. And, I mean, all the same people that did this to us were all reselected to run for office again. Who selected them? Did they anoint themselves? The people did. Either actively or passively by not showing up and taking part in the process. So, here we are. Thank goodness for Good Friday and Easter. That's where our hope really is.
Amen.
Hope you get a chance to enjoy some of that hope this weekend. Until then, Romans 8:28.